2017 has gone by way too fast. No wonder I'm so old. They say the older you get, the faster time goes. And I don't understand why that would be, because the older you get, the slower you move. 10 years ago, I decided that I needed to lose some weight. And I lost over 60 pounds in about 6 months. I didn't have surgery. I didn't go to Weight Watchers or do Nutrisystem or any of those things. I just decided to start eating better. I realized that I didn't need to have 6 chocolate chip cookies. I could just have 1. I started going to the gym at least 5, if not 6 mornings a week. I'd do 3.5 miles on the treadmill. And then I do about 20 minutes of weights, alternating between upper body and lower body each day. And then I fell and tore the rotator cuff in my surgery, or in my shoulder. Had to have surgery. Had some other health problems, and wasn't able to get to the gym. And I started gaining some of the weight back. And I've gained back much more than I want to. Not back to where I was, praise God. But if I don't do something, I'll get there. So I've gone to the gym off and on. We just got a treadmill. And I get so frustrated in getting on the treadmill because I'm nowhere near where I was when I was going to the gym 5 or 6 days a week, because I can't get up to where I used to start on the treadmill, because I would start at a certain level, and every 10 minutes I would go up a notch on speed and incline. And you know, if I set the treadmill at those starting limits, no way. Okay, it's just not going to happen. And so it's been kind of frustrating. But I just feel slow in a lot of ways. And I guess that just comes with getting older. And I'm just going to have to deal with it, I guess. But praise God, He's with me no matter how fast or how slow I am, no matter how fast or how slow the time goes. God's there with me. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I just give you thanks that you are with us all the time, no matter what, no matter where, no matter how faithful we are, no matter how sin-free we are or sin-filled we are. Lord, you're still there, and I praise you for that. And so, Father, as we look at your word today, excuse me, let's look at it with open minds, open hearts, open eyes, open ears, to see what you have to say. Then, Lord, just let your Holy Spirit speak to us. And I know the message that I have today, it may not be real popular with some people, but it's what I felt you gave me. So, Lord, just prepare us. And Lord, help me to give the message that you've prepared, to give it with love. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to take this time to air a problem that I have with some people. And most of those people are Christians, or fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. And the problem is my Father God, to be specific, my father. I went to seminary 1991 to 95, Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. It's a very liberal school. Most of the professors, at least the ones that I encountered, God is not male, is what they said. some of my fellow seminarians, God is not male. And some professors went as far as to mark you off on papers if you referred to God in the male gender. My response to these people was then, and would still be today, I cannot wait to get home where God can be himself. Okay, God is my father. If he is not your father, that's your problem. Okay? And if you are one that has a problem with this, well, I guess I'm just kind of sorry about that. So it's time to look at some scripture. Okay? Every time Jesus refers to his father, the Greek word is pater, which means father or parent. Okay? It doesn't mean father or mother, or father or mother or parent. It means father or parent. In the New Testament, almost every time the word mother is used, the Greek there is mater. And so every time the phrase father and mother, father or mother, is used, it's pater and mater. So, I don't think the writers are meaning parent or mother, or parent and mother. You know, go talk to your parent and mother. Just doesn't sound right, does it? Because the Greek word for parent or parents is gonios. That word is used whenever it is written, not pater. Okay, now I know I don't know Greek, I don't know Hebrew, and I'm probably really making a mess of the pronunciation of Greek and Hebrew words, and I guess my response would be, sorry about that. Okay, I'm doing the best I can. So, do not think that I'm some heartless person. I realize that some people did not have a good relationship with their earthly father. I understand that. Okay, my father and I were never close. I was never abused. I was neglected, but I was never abused. I know that there were some male figures in people's lives that were very abusive. Fathers, grandfathers, uncles, cousins, brothers, coaches, teachers. And I've heard many stories of childhoods that were horrendous with the abuse that there was, physical and sexual and verbal and all that. I mean, I've heard a lot of people that, you know, they legitimately have a claim, I guess, against males. But some people, especially women, dealt with things that never should have happened. That was not God. Okay? That was not God working through your father, your uncle, your coach, whatever. Okay? That was not God. So my thought on what needs to happen, and I've battled people with this thought, but my thought is forgiveness needs to happen. And I know you didn't want to hear that, okay? If you're one that's dealing with a problem, that you didn't want to hear that. And some of you may be thinking, but you don't know what I went through. And you're right, I don't. But forgiveness needs to happen. Okay, so let's take a look at my father. 1 John, I believe, does a great job of describing who God is. Okay, 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12, and this is from the New International Version. And John tells us this. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love has made us complete. Okay, the word love, or a variation of that, appears 11 times, and he or his or him appears 9 times in that passage. Okay, I don't think John meant to say in verse 9, this is how God showed God's love among us. God sent God's one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Okay, I don't buy that. Okay, to some people, that's right. To me, that's wrong. Okay, I just don't buy it, because I don't think it's up to us to be correcting God's authors of his word, because it doesn't fit in with our political correctness or our personal feelings. Remember, you can contact me on Facebook at As Is Ministries. Okay? So, you know, I mean, this is my podcast, and I'm going to do it my way. So if you don't like what you're hearing, you know, I'm sorry. But when I was pastoring churches, it was the same way. It was the message that God gave me to give to people. So if I get you ticked off, I'm sorry, you're not number one, okay? But I'm trying to be gentle. Doesn't sound like it, does it? But maybe I'm trying to be fair. I don't know about that one either. But I'm going to stay in 1 John for a while. A lot of good stuff in John and 1 John. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Lavished love on us. My Father did not lavish love on me, or did my mother. Okay, I was the youngest of three. Sometimes they say, you know, the baby of the family gets spoiled. Not so. Okay, my father's favorite was my sister, who was 3 years older than me. My mother's favorite was my brother Tom, who was 8 years older than me. So that left nobody else. Okay, my brother and sister both had juvenile diabetes. My sister, since she was 2.5, my brother around 14. And my parents didn't really know that I existed until I went to Vietnam. Now, I could have reason to not want to look at God as father or mother or parent. I could look at God as heavenly creator, which he is, higher power, which he is. But I guess in that respect, I'm a traditionalist. The Bible, for centuries, referred to God as father. Okay, it's been just in the last, I don't know, 40, 50 years, maybe more, maybe less, that people started wanting to refer to God as something other than father, to be gender neutral. So if the Bible seemingly forever referred to God as father, I'm going to too. Others can deal with it as the way they want. But don't try to make me out as wrong because of what I believe. I think that was my biggest problem when I went to seminary, was the fact that people were telling me that I was wrong, that I couldn't do that, when I saw myself as not being wrong and found no reason why I could not do that. I know when I went for ordination, in the United Methodist Church. A fellow pastor and I drove up together, and before we went, we had to write papers on different topics or different scriptures, whatever, I don't remember now. But anyways, he said that he had gone through his papers, and you know, he believed, as I did, that God is Father, but he went through his papers and changed it so it was completely gender neutral, because he thought that that was going to help him. It didn't. Yeah, he still didn't get ordained. But I don't believe that I've ever criticized anyone for not referring to God as Father. You know, I know in seminary, you know, again, this was a long time ago. In seminary, someone believing as myself would maybe get up or answer a question or whatever and refer to God as Father or Him. And some of the people that didn't believe that would cut in and try to correct them. I don't remember anybody ever correcting somebody that didn't refer to God as the male gender when they were giving an answer. Okay, so I don't know. I guess I don't want to go any further in that. But we used to have some heated discussions anyways concerning that in seminary. But going back to 1 John, I want to go to chapter 4. This is verses 13 to 16. Again from the NIV. It says, "This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in Him. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." Again, you see the intertwining of the two things, love and God, or love and Father. You know, it's not by accident. Okay, John was not some white male chauvinist. Okay, John heard the words that Jesus used, okay, when he wrote his gospel. You know, he referred to God as Father, okay, because that's what he heard Jesus saying. John knew what Jesus meant. It wasn't, I maybe think Jesus, he may have meant this, I'm not sure, but I think this is maybe what Jesus had in mind. Okay, I believe that John was very sure of what he was writing. It was John that said this at the very end of his gospel. "Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world cannot contain the books that would be written." Okay, so John knew the things of Jesus. John knew the things that he heard Jesus say. And John also wrote this at the end of the book of Revelation. "I solemnly declare to everyone who hears the words of prophecy written in this book, if anyone adds any things to what is written here, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. And if anyone removes any of the words from this prophecy, God will remove from that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city that are described in this book." Now, some scholars say, well, John only meant the book of Revelation, you know, not the whole Bible. He was just talking about the book of Revelation. And maybe so. But I don't believe God will be very happy with anyone changing His word. And you know, He's just not going to buy it, I don't think. You know, we've become a society that wants things our way. We feel that we have the right to change what does not feel good. We see no problem with eliminating all that we can that makes us feel uncomfortable. Well, you know what? Sometimes the Word of God can make us feel uncomfortable. Because sometimes the Word of God convicts us because of how we're living our lives. So instead of changing the Bible, we need to be changing ourselves. You know, instead of changing the Bible to make it fit our lives and our lifestyle and our life pattern, we need to be changing ourselves to be more like the Word of God. Is it going to be easy? Sometimes not. Sometimes not at all. Will it be popular? Doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter if it's popular or not. Just do it. Let me give you an example. Seeing God as anything other than male is wrong, I think, for another reason. Okay, Ephesians 5, 21 to 24, New Living Translation. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of his church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Boy, that probably blew some gaskets with people, okay, every time they hear that. Okay, not a popular passage of Scripture for some women, okay? But you cannot take it out of the context of the following verses, okay, verses 25 to 30, where it tells the husband, you got to be like Christ, okay? And, you know, I don't want to get into this in any great depth, but if myself, as the husband, if I am living like Christ and I am treating my wife like Christ treats the church, why wouldn't she want to submit to me? Okay? And, you know, I wouldn't expect her to submit to me if I was treating her in any other way. Okay? Because the two go together. You can't stop at verse 24 and forget the verses that follow, man. Okay? You got to do the whole passage, the whole thing. Okay? But looking at this, we've got to see God as male. Okay? Would God say, wife, obey your husband, and then he be anything other than male himself? Just doesn't make sense. No, this would be a do as I say, not as I do moment. That would not be God. Not my God. Okay, so let's move on to Matthew chapter 7. Okay, this is a New American Standard. And Jesus asks some questions in verses 9 through 11. It says, or what man is there among you, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Now, some versions like to make it gender neutral, but the original, it says, or what man is there among you, and his son asks for a loaf, not what parent or what person asks, if your child asks you, but go to the original, okay? That's all I'll say there. All right, as long as we're in Matthew, how about verse 9 of chapter 6? This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, this is the first place that many, many people have changed. Okay, when they pray this, they will say our parent or our Lord or our heavenly God. Do not change the Word of God to fit your perception of God. Someday, myself and all the Bible changers are going to stand before God, and I know exactly what he's going to say. He's going to say, you should have listened to Don, because he knew what he was talking about. No, that's not what he's going to say. Okay, I wish, but I know that's not what I would hear from him. He's going to say, did it really matter? Did it really make any difference? Or do you think maybe it was just Satan's way of trying to divide the body? I think that's God's attitude towards it. What difference does it make? I want to share the words of a popular contemporary Christian song. just to try and prove my point a little bit more here, okay? And it goes like this. I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Because you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. God is perfect. I'm not. God's word is perfect. I've got to take it as it is. Not to try and change it, but to try and live it. When I'm preparing a message, I look at several different Bible versions for every scripture that I use. Not to try to find something that agrees with me, but to find something that speaks in a way that I better understand. And that I think the listener will better understand. Because I know I'm flawed. Even when I think I understand, I know that I don't. I know sometimes what I say is not 100% right. But I know I have a God that loves me and forgives me. So if I've managed to upset anyone, I'm sorry about that. It's something that we both need to pray about. So allow me to close with another short song. Father God, I give all thanks and praise to Thee. Father God, my hands I humbly raise to Thee. For Your mighty power and love amaze me, and I stand in awe and worship, Father God. Father, I just give You thanks that You love us with all of our warts, with all of our problems that we cause and create. You love us no matter how much we mess up Your word. You love us when we think we know exactly what You mean, when we really don't have a clue. You love us if we try to change Your word. You love us if we don't live Your word. You just love us. And whether You are Father or parent or heavenly being, whatever we want to call You, You are God. That's the title that we can't forget. You are God. There is none other like You. So Lord, help us to remember that. Help me to remember that. Lord, I know that there's some believers that maybe listened today that maybe got upset with me, but they can't be upset with You. So Lord, if I've caused some friction, forgive me. I guess I meant to do that in the way that I went about this, but I hope that I didn't at the same time. So, Father, once again, I give You thanks for being loving and forgiving. And, Lord, those that are listening that may think of God differently than I do, Lord, let us both know that we're both right. That as long as we think of You as God, then we'll never be wrong. No matter what gender or not that we want to put on you. But Lord, just help us to come closer to you. And Lord, if there's anyone that's listening that maybe doesn't know you, Lord, I hope I didn't scare them away by thinking, you know, they can't even figure this out. Lord, help them to figure out that they need you in their lives and that they need to ask you for forgiveness, that they need to ask you to be the Lord of their lives, that they need to believe what your word says, to skip over the fathers and the hims and the he's, and to just believe that your word is true, that it's true from cover to cover, and it's still as alive and powerful today as when it was written. Let them know that they need to believe that Jesus is indeed your son, and that he was born of the Virgin Mary, and that he went to the cross to die for their sins. Lord, that's a hard concept for us to imagine. How could somebody have died for my sins 2,000 years ago? Okay, 2,000 years before I was ever even thought of. How could somebody have died for those sins? My answer is, I don't know. But I know it's true. So let them know that when Jesus was on that cross, that his body physically took in every sin that had been committed, the sins that were committed that day when they nailed him to the cross, the sins that we've committed today so far, that every sin was taken into his body. And that's what made him have the anguish that he did. That's what made God turn his face from him. And that's why God said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God couldn't look at his son so full of that sin. Because until that moment, Jesus had never had any sin in his life. So Father, help them to believe that. And to know that he died on that cross and he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And that 3 days later, he was alive. He was gone. And when the stone was rolled away, he wasn't there. And that he met with his disciples and he said, I'm coming back. I don't know when I'm coming back, but Lord, I'm coming back when my Father tells me it's time. So Lord, help people to know that they need to believe those things. They need to be ready, that they're not too healthy, they're not too young, they're not too rich, they're not too sick, they're not too old, they're not too poor. Let them know that they can't earn their way to heaven, that it only comes through you. Lord, I don't know the sin people have in their lives, but you do, and you're ready to say, I forgive you. Come and be my child. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen.